Today comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who has been said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Here ends the reading for this day. Thanks be to God. A few years ago, during the Advent season in Minnesota at my former church, we had our oldest member of the church. She was 102 years old. She lived down the street from the church at a housing facility that the church had built. And the United Church of Christ chaplain there decided to put on a nativity play with the residents at the nursing home. And they asked her if she would like to play the part of Mary. She was so excited because she never got to play Mary when she was younger. And so on the day of the performance, she was in her wheelchair going downstairs in the elevator to the main floor where the chapel was. She was dressed up as Mary, and the gentleman who was going to be playing Joseph was also in the elevator dressed up as Joseph. And a stranger walked into the elevator. She turned to the stranger and she said, "We are engaged to be married, and I am a virgin." Welcome to the unexpected moments of Advent. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. This is our four-week season preceding Christmas. The word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. Advent did not always mean the coming of the birth of baby Jesus. In the 4th and 5th centuries, it was a time of preparation for the early Christians who were going to be baptized. In the 6th century, Advent became the time of preparation for the coming of Jesus, but it was not the coming of the baby Jesus. They were preparing for the second coming. It wasn't until the Middle Ages that Advent became what it is for us today, this season of waiting. Isn't that your favorite thing to do? And preparation, that's kind of fun, for the birth of the Christ child into our world. Advent is also a time of ritual. We had our Advent candles lit today, and this is a way for us to celebrate our time as we wait for the light and power of Christ consciousness and Christ child to be born into our world. So this season, we decided to make up our own theme. So for our Christmas and Advent season, our theme is going to be Unexpected Refuge and Prophetic Rebellion. Sounds pretty Christmassy, doesn't it? We took the scriptures from each of what we wanted to hear each Sunday, and we took out the theme. We boiled it down. So for our scripture today, we boiled all that story down to the word unexpected. Unexpected can play out in several different ways. Unexpected can play out as delightful surprise, as when Ellen DeGeneres received one of 21 Presidential Medals of Freedom, our country's highest civilian honor this week. She was honored because she's shown us that a single individual can make the world a more fun and more open and more loving place. Unexpected can look like receiving the 40 Under 40 Gazette Award. When you didn't even know that the whole church had nominated you behind your back. So thank you for all of you who nominated me. That was a wonderful honor, and most of it goes to you. So thank you for that. Unexpected can look like seeing that supermoon rising on the horizon. You didn't know it was going to be that big or that bright. Unexpected can look like family arriving from out of town that you didn't know was coming, family you actually wanted to see. Unexpected can be a delightful surprise. But unexpected can also be those not so delightful surprises that pop up during this season. It can look like waking up the morning after the election. Unexpected. It can look like hearing the car mechanic run off a laundry list of needed car repairs that you cannot pay for. It can look like the receiving of new and serious health diagnoses. Or having your beloved in the hospital and feeling powerless to stop their pain. Mary and Elizabeth experienced the unexpected in our text today. God sends a messenger to an unwed, pregnant teenager and says, "Time to celebrate. God is close by. You're blessed." And I love Mary's response. The text says she was deeply troubled. Wouldn't you be too if God is close by and someone tells you that it's time to celebrate? That must mean that things are about to change. I wasn't expecting any visitors. Can you please wait until I send out the invitation? Thanks for stopping by, but I'll pass. Do I really want to know what is about to change in my life? Sure, God has come close by, but I don't like change. The message to Mary begins like most messages in the Bible do. The message begins, "Do not be afraid." But that's what we're best at, right? That's what we majored or minored in college. We're really good at worrying or fretting or fearing, making up the worst case scenarios before the opening credits have even rolled. Then comes the big surprise. The strip on the pregnancy test shows a little blue cross, and the cross means Jesus. And that means you're pregnant with a VIP, a very important person, Mary. Your life will never be the same again. So Mary replies, "How can this be?" Translation, huh? Come again? Thanks, but no thanks. The messenger goes on to explain that unexpected things are happening not only to Mary, but also to her relative, Elizabeth. This time, it's not an unplanned teenage pregnancy surprise, but one of those postmenopausal, "we've already started retirement, this can't be happening, we're too old for this" pregnancies. And the angel has the audacity to be happy about it, saying nothing is impossible with God, as though that's a good thing. Mary's response, "My life belongs to God. I may not understand, but let it be." During this Thanksgiving holiday, I had the great pleasure to read a book cover to cover. I read the new book called Love Warrior by New York Times bestseller Glennon Doyle Melton. Her first book was called Love Warrior. And this is a memoir of a woman my age who utilized many coping mechanisms throughout her life to deal with the fact that our society has painfully prescribed ways that boys and girls and men and women are supposed to fit in. Bulimia, alcoholism, and meaningless escape your body sex were the ways in which she got through her years. Until one day, after she'd already had her first abortion, there was that little blue cross again appearing. She sat on the bathroom floor and remembered an experience she recently had in an empty, candlelit room inside a Catholic church while she was looking at the image of Mary holding her baby, Jesus. Glennon experienced this little blue cross as an invitation from God that she was worthy enough to give and receive love. She became sober. She married the baby's father and raised three children over the next 14 years. And then the unexpected happened again. This time it wasn't a little blue cross that turned into a delightful surprise and an event that saved her life, but instead it was a confession from her husband that he had been cheating on her with one-night stands throughout the entirety of their marriage. It's one of those Advent shockers that knocks your socks off and leaves you unable to take a deep breath, one of those life events that you cannot see your way through. Do you come out on the other side of something like that? Later that night, after putting the children to bed, she made three lists. I'm a list maker, I can identify. The first list was called Questions I Can't Answer. Will we ever be a family again? Will I be a single parent? Will my children be ruined by this? Will my kids one day have another mother? What am I going to do? Her second list was entitled Questions I Can Answer. Am I loved? Yes. Are my children loved? Yes. Did I survive rock bottom before? Yes. List three was entitled Things I Know. I know that what you don't know, you're not supposed to know yet. I know that more will be revealed. I know to do just the next right thing, one thing at a time. That night, she printed out her three lists and crawled into bed with them. One of the questions kept running through her mind. What am I going to do? She made a plan. I will go to sleep. The sun will rise. I will make breakfast. I will take the kids to school. I will come home and rest. She repeats her plan again and again until her breathing slows down. I will go to sleep. The sun will rise. I will make breakfast. I will take the kids to school. I will come home and rest. Just the next right thing, one thing at a time. Good wisdom bears repeating. When in the midst of great change, it is helpful to remember how a chick is born. From the view of the chick, it is a terrifying struggle. Confined. Curled in a dark shell. Half formed. The chick eats all its food and stretches to the contours of its shell. It begins to feel hungry and cramped. Eventually, the chick begins to starve and feels suffocated by the ever-shrinking space of its world. Finally, its own growth begins to crack the shell. And the world, as the chick knows, is coming to an end. Its sky is falling. As the chick wriggles through the cracks, it begins to eat its shell. In that moment, growing but fragile, starving and cramped, its world breaking, the chick must feel like it is dying, yet Once everything it has relied on falls away, the chick is born. Transformation always involves the falling away of things that we have relied on. And we are left with a feeling that the world as we know it is coming to an end, because it is. When faced with great change, unexpected change, we somehow must take in all that has enclosed us and nurtured us, so that when new life is upon us, the old is still within us. So this Advent, if you find yourself in the unexpected, let us remember Mother Mary. She was deeply troubled. She responded to the unexpected with, "How can this be? Thanks, but no thanks." Perhaps she wrote her own three lists. Questions I can't answer. What's going to happen next? How will I get through it? Questions I can answer. Am I loved? Yes. Have I survived hardship before? Yes. What I know that what you don't know, you're not supposed to know yet. I know more will be revealed. I know to just do the next right thing, one thing at a time. I know my life belongs to God. I may not understand, but let it be. Let us be together this Advent, supporting each other through all the unexpected that comes our way. May it be so. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for prayer.